Amen.
I heard a song like, "John Rejoice." I've come too far, this looks like that. I'm almost over the bridge. I am so thankful that God saved my soul when I was a young girl. I'm so thankful I have a lot of knowing the Lord and a life of peace in my soul, but always peace wasn't around me. I am so thankful for Christian home. I am so thankful for my children, for they were saved and that I made them. For as they still pray to me, I pray to my church. I pray that this church will always stay just like it is now.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Flo. Appreciate that good talk. If you would like to read along with me today, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. Some very, should be anyway, some very familiar scripture, certainly among some of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. I'm going to read just a short scripture reading. This these verses that I want to read start out with this declaration, "For we know." For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And I will conclude my reading there, having read the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to, in this, I want us to look at a very basic, very necessary way of studying the Scriptures or preaching from the Scriptures. There's three things that are important to be established. The first one we want to consider is who was talking here. And the second one is who were they talking to? And then we'll get to what they were talking about. But if we go back to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the salutation of this epistle, those first two questions will be answered for us. The first chapter of 2 Corinthians with the first verse says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I have read to you in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians was spoken in this epistle and was written by the Apostle Paul. And who that he wrote that to was, he wrote it to the church at Corinth with all the saints which are in Achaia. And so this this epistle written by the Apostle Paul while he was here on earth, of course, and he was writing this and addressing this to people who were saved, people who knew the Lord. Now let's look now at what he was talking about. What was Paul saying with all of this? What was he talking about this tabernacle? And what was he talking about groaning and being clothed so that we won't be found naked? What was Paul speaking about in this when he spoke about a house? And when he spoke about a house which is from heaven. And so we look back at the first verse, and Paul, again, he starts with these very important words, this very important declaration, "For we know." Paul is writing here to the Corinthians and telling them of something that he knows about, or that they know about, something that there is a certainty that is expressed in that, "For we know." Well, what he said we know, he said we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God. Now, many of us that are here today, we live in a house. We live in a house that has been built out of wood and brick and mortar and many other kinds of man-made materials. We live in houses. But that's not what Paul was referencing here. That's not what he meant when he said our earthly house of this tabernacle. He wasn't talking about a building or a structure that we live in. He was talking about our body being an earthly house of this tabernacle. He was talking about the fact that we have a body that houses the soul. And he was saying, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, the houses that I was talking about, the structures, whether it's what we would consider a house or an apartment or trailer, whatever that we might live in, the places where we dwell, certainly those places will one day be dissolved. I mean, the Bible tells us that even the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. The world here that we live in is one day going to be destroyed. And the earth and all of the things in the earth are going to be burned up. And so the houses that we live in, no matter how good they look or not, no matter how well they were built, I remember years ago, because I've seen some of them, years ago there were some houses that were built, and I mean they were built sturdy. They were built to stand. And some of them have stood for a long time, but nevertheless, one day, one way or another, they're all going to falter and they're going to fail and they're going to fall. And the same thing is true for this earthly house of this tabernacle, this body, this earthly life that we have. The same thing is true for that. And that's what Paul was saying. One day, that part will be dissolved. This earthly house of our tabernacle is going to fall. But thank God for the bright hope that is spoken about here, because he said, "For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, what Paul was saying here, in very, we could put this into very simple language, and we could simply say here that Paul was saying, those of us that are saved, because remember, that's who he was writing to, that's who he was addressing. He was addressing those in this epistle who were saved. And so what he was saying was, those of us who are saved, we know that when our natural life ends, that we have a home in heaven. That's what Paul was saying in this. That's what he was saying when he used the language, if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. He was simply saying, we that are saved know that when we die, that we have an eternal home in heaven. We know that. I was thinking last night, I want to ask your prayers today, and I prayed that God will, I don't seem to get to preach this subject very often, and I prayed that God will just let me have a good time with His Word today and enjoy this thought. Paul wrote a lot about heaven. He wrote a lot about the future abode, the future home of the saints. Paul addressed this a lot in his epistles. And in the third chapter of Colossians, he said, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I want to ask that today, those of you that are here today that are saved, that know, as Paul knew here, that you have a home in heaven. I want to ask that of you today, as Paul did of the Colossians. I want to ask you today to lift up your eyes to a little bit higher plane than this world that we live in. I want to ask you today to have heavenly thoughts, to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Let's think about, for just a little while this morning, let's think about what's waiting for us, that our hearts may rejoice in that. You know, we need encouragement along the way. It's not always easy to serve the Lord. Jesus never promised us that it would be easy to live our lives for Him. And so along the way, from time to time, we need to be built up. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be strengthened. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing that gets me going anymore than just taking some time and thinking about what's ahead. I know my days here are few. Do you know that your days here on the earth are few? Have you embraced that reality about life? I think sometimes that we, try to make an attempt to not face reality, but I'll tell you what, we need to embrace that reality concerning our earthly lives, that they are short. They're short. You know, you may think that you may deceive yourself in your mind, and you may think that you're going to be here for a long time, but I'm going to say this, even to you that are here today, that are in the days of your youth, you are not going to be on earth for a long time. Amen. Your life is going to be short. And from the very moment, and my wife and I, we've been blessed in the last year with more grandchildren. But you know what I realized about those little babies? That the very moment that they were born into this world, they begin a journey towards death. I mean, the very moment that they breathe, you know, that they came forth from the womb and they took their first breath on their own, they begin their journey towards the grave. Well, actually, I guess we could say it began in the womb. Journeying towards the day of death. And it's a swift journey. Let me tell you something. You that are here today, and I guarantee you this, I've got enough confidence in this because I have talked to people in my own life that have told me this. You that are here that are young today, if you think what I'm telling you is not true, you just go here at this church, you just ask any one of the older members of this church about it, and they will tell you that their life has seemed very short to them. It does. It's a vapor, appears for a little while, and then vanishes away. So, not only those of us who are saved, not only do we have this great bright hope of heaven to excite us about and to look forward to, and to know that we have that waiting for us, but we can also take great consolation in the fact that the things of heaven and the beauty that we will see in that land, that we will experience that soon. Amen, Sister Ark. That we will know it soon. It will be a reality to us very soon. I believe that we are closer, friends, even than what we may think. But our lives are spent here, as Job said, our lives are spent swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and it's not very long, as we read in the 90th Psalm, even if we live to be 80 years old, that we're soon cut off and we fly away. And so our lives here are short, and thank God for salvation. Listen, friends, you will never find anything in this world any better than the salvation of your soul.
Amen. Amen.
Home. Heaven. Glory. Paradise. It's called by many different names in the scriptures. But it is the land that God has prepared for the redeemed. It is the land that God has prepared for those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. It is the land that God has prepared for His children, and every one of His children will occupy that land, and there won't be one of God's people that will miss heaven. Not one. I remember my grandparents, my mother's mother and father, they had 11 children. Well, they had 12, and 11 survived. They had 11 children. They had so many children that one time, I remember hearing this story when I was just a child, that one time they went to church. And while they were at church, one of the children had went to sleep on one of the benches, and they, after the service, they went home, and they got home, and they found out that they didn't even have all their kids with them. And they had to go back there, and there he was sleeping on the church bench, and they had to go back and get him. They had so many kids, they couldn't even keep up with all of them. But you know what? The Bible tells me, the Bible says that the Lord knows those that are His.
Amen.
And there won't be one, there won't be one that will slip from His hand. The people of God are going home. We're on our way right now. We're journeying today. Brother Strode spoke to us this morning and gave thanks to God for 55 spiritual birthdays. We don't know how many more that we'll have, do we, Brother Strode? I mean, we don't know how many more on this earth is what I mean to say. We don't know how many more years on this earth that we'll celebrate that spiritual birthday, but we do know this. We know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and it's in this that we groan. Do you understand today, those of you that have been saved? Those of you that have been saved longer will no doubt perhaps understand it more than those of you that have been recently saved. But do you understand what Paul was talking about there when he said, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Let me ask you this today. I know that those of us here today that are saved, there's no question that we love our life. There's no question that we love being with our family. There's no question that we love living here on God's earth. It's natural for us to love our life. It's unnatural for us to hate our life. The Bible teaches us that. But listen, you that are saved, let me ask you this. Don't you have those times? Don't you know what Paul was talking about? When you have those times down in your heart, when you begin to groan and you begin to desire and you begin to feel what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Philippians and he said that I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Sometimes, I don't believe that I have a death wish. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe I've got a desire for home. Because sometimes there have been times when I remember one time in particular, one time just laying on my bed and just getting this overwhelming feeling and this overwhelming desire and asking myself and asking the question within myself, Lord, when will my time come? When will I get to depart and see my long home? When will it be for me that I'll get to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ there in all of His glory? Lord, when will that time come? But we just have to wait, don't we? Because it'll be in God's own time. He'll call us one by one. He'll call us and we'll answer the call. And we'll go home to be with God. I want to talk for just a moment about the home that God has made for us. A home is a place where you dwell, where you live. Things are going to be so much different in heaven than what they've ever been here. All in a good way. Things are going to be so much better in heaven than what they have ever been here. I thank God for the house that He has blessed my wife and I with. I mean, I'm thankful today that we have an earthly dwelling, that we have a house that has been made with hands, that we have that to live in. Yesterday I was out and I really began to think about this and reflect upon these thoughts. Yesterday I went out to mow the grass and I got out there and I started mowing and I was out there I think about an hour, a little bit over an hour, but about halfway through I began to think, man, it's hot out here. It's hot. Be out here, I'm out here in the hot sun and I'm mowing this grass and I'm maintaining this property that I have, and we have to do that with the property that we have here, that piece of real estate that God has blessed me with here, it's got to be maintained. There are things that we have to do. There's upkeep that has to be done in order to keep it in living condition. And no matter what we do or no matter how hard we work on them, one of these days they'll fall. They'll falter and they'll be gone. But I've got a piece of real estate in a better place than this. God gave that to me when He saved my soul. Gave me a ticket home and a clear title to that land. Amen. And I'm going to occupy it when I've breathed my last breath here on earth. I won't have to maintain it. I won't have to take care of it. There's nothing that will have to be maintained there because God made it and it's perfect. And nothing there ever falters, and nothing there ever fails, and nothing there is ever in need of repair. And the troubles that we have in this life, folks, listen, don't you have troubles? Don't you have problems? Don't you have things that afflict you and bother you? Don't you have things happen to you that sometimes just downright break your heart? I've had things happen to me here, and I know that you have too. I've had things happen to me here that sent me away somewhere to a secluded place, down on my knees, weeping and hurting inside, and praying that God would just help me somehow to get through it, that He would just grant me the grace to be able to get through it. But when I go to heaven, those things are over. There's no trouble there. It's nothing but peace. It's nothing but contentment. There are things that even in the service of God, there are even things that God has called upon us here to do, and tasks that God has given to us here on the earth that won't even be done there in heaven. Even things of God that won't last. When I was just a young man, when I was barely 26 years old, and I've told you about this experience, standing on my job one time there in Indianapolis, trying to work, and right there God spoke to me and made it known to me that I was to preach His word. God called me to preach, and that's the reason that I preach today. I didn't pick the job. I didn't want the job. God called me to preach the gospel, and I have tried to, in my weak way, to obey that holy calling and do what God has asked me to do. But even though that calling came from God, it's only temporary. It's only for time. This morning I stood up here and I opened my Bible and I read some scripture, and I'm trying to expound upon that scripture today. And here in just a few moments, no doubt, when the Lord's finished with me, I'll close the book and I'll be finished for this sermon. But one of these days, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to read from this good book. And I'm going to try to expound the message that God gave me to preach. And when I'm finished, I'm going to close it, not to open it anymore. I'll preach my last sermon one of these days. When I go to heaven, I won't be the preacher anymore. There'll be no need for that, will there? There won't be any need for that. We that are saved, we know the burden that we carry. We know the way that it makes us feel when we think about our loved ones that are lost and without God. And we have knelt at the altars, and we have knelt by our bedsides, and we have knelt in various places, and we have poured out our hearts in prayer from time to time for those who are lost and without God, that they might come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Folks, listen, I have fretted over people in this life to the point at times that it would just almost make me sick to think about the fact that that person is still lost and without God. But when I get to God's bright heaven, I'm going to lay that burden down, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. We won't be out witnessing to people anymore. We won't be out anymore trying to reach people with the gospel of Christ. We'll lay that burden down, and we won't have that work to do anymore. We won't have to pray anymore like we have prayed here. In fact, I suppose that in the scriptures, and I'm sure that this makes Brother Ronnie happy and Brother Strode and Brother Joey. The only thing that really, if when we read the scriptures, the only thing that we're going to carry from our mode of worship here on earth into heaven is the singing. The Bible talks about the fact that we'll sing a song that only we can sing, but the preaching of the word and praying for lost souls and the things that we've done down here, folks, those things will stop. We'll lay them down outside the gates of heaven, and we won't carry those burdens anymore. Won't be anybody there to preach to, will there? There won't be a lost soul there to preach to. Everybody there will know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I want to read some scripture. I know that when our loved ones die, It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. I can still remember today, and it's been about 26 years ago, I guess, 25 or 26 years ago, when my dad passed away. But I can still remember the pain on my mother's face. I can still remember, I've got a vivid memory in my mind of her, of the tears that she shed when he passed from this life. I remember how that it hurt us as a family when that happened. I don't mean to make her sad, but I was visiting with Sister Roark not too long ago, and she said, I'm lonely. And it does. It leaves us lonely, and it leaves us sad, and it leaves a void in our life. But listen to this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, for those who are saved, death does not defeat us. It doesn't defeat us. Even though when I think about the sadness that I told you about, when I think about the sadness that was there, the sadness that gripped the heart of my mother and my brothers and my sisters and myself when we had to see our dad pass away and say goodbye to him. You know, thank God that he was ready for the journey, and we'll be back together. We'll be back together. Really, the sadness about death is somebody that dies without hope, isn't it? That's when death is really sad. But we're going to be back together, Sister LaVon, soon. Soon, before you know it. It's all right. You know, there have been several people since I came here to be the pastor. There have been several members of the church that have passed away. I know that there are some here now that are sick. I know that there are some here that are aging. And I know that we're all going the way of all the earth. But listen, let's take courage. It's all right. We're going home. We're going home. When this earthly house of our tabernacle is dissolved, we've got a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And the very best that death can do is to separate us for a little while, and we are going home, and we'll be joined together again. We'll have that great reunion. You know, people have thought about this for years and years and years, have they not? I mean, you think about the scriptures that I told you about, that Paul spoke about it. Paul thought about heaven. Paul thought about what was waiting for him. He wrote about it. You think about in the hymnals that we have today. We sung one this morning that it won't be long. You think about all the songs. You go through the church hymnal and you think about all the songs that people have written about heaven. Tell me that the saints of God don't think about their eternal home. We ought to be like those that the 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about. We ought to reach out and embrace that great fact and that great hope and that great reality that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's all we are. We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth, because they that say such a thing declare plainly that they seek a country. Thank God I love life. I love the fact that God gave me life and that God's allowing me to live on His earth. But thank God that this isn't the best I've got. I've got something better. Got something better. If this is the best you got, I feel sorry for you. I sure do. I want to read this scripture before I close. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Listen to these verses, these few verses I want to read. Listen to what heaven is about. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen, listen. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. When I was a teenager, we had a big family. I had a lot of cousins and a lot of aunts and uncles, and it kind of died out through the years. But when I was a teenager, every summer, that big family, and most everybody would come to it, we would get together at a big park, and we'd have a family reunion. And I can remember getting anxious each year for that time to come when I could go and be with all of them. We'd have a family reunion. Well, we got a family reunion we're going to. Amen. The greatest thing about heaven is that we'll see the Lord. But we've got a lot of people there too that we want to go and see. Thank God that death is not the end. If you're here and you're lost, the worst tragedy that could ever happen to you would be that you would miss heaven and spend an eternity in hell without God. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. I'd like for us to have a song, Brother Ronnie, if we could. I realize today how miserably I fail in trying to talk about heaven, because the things that I have said today don't even come close to what heaven will really be like. But aren't you glad to be on your way? I sure am. I'm so glad I've been saved. I'm more thankful for that every day. The older I get, the more thankful I am that I've been saved by the grace of God. I'd like for us to have a song, and I want everybody today to just follow the Lord and do what God would have you to do. If you're lost, you need to seek Him for the salvation of your soul.